Die together.
Ah, what a great country we live in. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know, as much as I watch these politicians, they're like lab rats to me, watching what's happening, the back and forth, the tweeting, using social media, watching the debates, all that kind of stuff. The coolest thing, you got to just pinch yourself. As much as we might not like some of the candidates, we might not like the fact, a lot of people don't like the fact that Romney's being foisted on them. Some people like the Romney factor. Some people would go in a different direction, Ron Paul. But, man, we're talking about it. We don't live in a country where somebody is forced down our throat, where we have no say in the government and we can't even talk about politics. That's the great thing about living in the United States of America. And in that spirit, coming up this hour, we're going to talk to two different people, a former law enforcement man for Los Angeles and a judge about marijuana. And marijuana, not legalization necessarily, taxation and regulation, they're very quick to say that, but a conversation about where are we headed in the war on drugs in this country. And one of the things that we talked about, and one of the things that they are really pushing, I wanted you to get a little sneak preview of it, is the fact that we are wasting so many resources and ignoring, in some cases for months, rape and robbery cases, for example. So resources are being pushed toward the drug sector. And while California, for example, is being drained, the cartels have 60% of the substances that go across the border. Can you imagine if it was regulated and taxed? Is that too far-fetched for you, or do you think that's a possibility that you like? Take a listen to Stephen Downing. We talked to him, and he was a guy on the street. He was a guy who was elevated to just right there at the chief's office in L.A., and here's what Stephen had to say about that very thing. What happens, because the resources, where are they really going toward?
The last statistic we have in California is 59,000 arrests for simple possession of marijuana. Now, let's forget about the damage of that arrest to the individual in terms of being labeled as a drug user, where they can't get employment, they can't get a grant, they can't get admission to a school. But the 59,000 arrests in terms of our police resources, our criminal justice resources. Even in California today, they're now writing the ticket. When I was doing it, it was a felony. You went to prison. But even with the ticket, the officer stops him, finds whatever reason he has to search and find this marijuana, which often results in the abuse of our Fourth Amendment rights. And a ticket is written. The marijuana is seized. The individual is let go. So right there, you got a half an hour. Now, the officer has the marijuana in his possession. He has to take it to the station and book it into evidence and make his reports related to that. Well, there's another hour to an hour and a half. So let's say it's an hour and a half. That's an hour and a half of one officer or two officers' time. Time 59,000 in the state of California. That's a lot of man hours off the street. However, it goes further than that because that person has to appear in court on that ticket. And in order for that person to appear in court and for the prosecution to be ready, the marijuana cigarette has to go to the head of the line at the forensic laboratory to be tested, so that they can say it's marijuana rather than oregano. But when it goes to the head of the line, everything else in that line, in the forensic laboratory, is pushed behind. A result, last year in Los Angeles County, there was a big article in the paper that they were backlogged for 3 years, 3,000 rape kits. So in other words, 3,000 women who had been raped were waiting as long as 3 years for the rape kits to be tested in the forensic laboratories because of the backlog. That meant that 3,000 rapists remained at large until their cases could be dealt with and they could be brought to the bar of justice because of drug testing. Because of drug testing. Because when somebody is in custody, that test goes to the head of the line because it has to be there when the suspect or the arrestee arrives at court. So the impact on our justice system resources for something as idiotic as possession of marijuana, which is less harmful than possession of tobacco, brings this kind of damage. But the greater damage is the human damage.
As we move on ATN, and we'll get to that subject coming up next, a really special treat, a Hollywood legend in a sense, a guy who did it all, danced and sang. He also acted with a lot of very, very famous people, and ultimately went on to star in so many television shows. He's an Academy Award winner, George Chakiris, and he was known for his role, Bernardo, in West Side Story. And he was able to take those roles in film and in television and translate it into something else, his hobby. So now he's selling jewelry. I mean, the guy has done it all. I don't even know how old he is, but he can't be young, because he made his debut in 1957. And he has traveled everywhere on location in Hawaii, Japan, Mexico, Italy, England, Spain. Sounds good, doesn't it? France. And did the nightclub circuit. He was focused on TV and music for a while. You name the series, and he was probably on it from the 70s or 80s. The New Adventures of Wonder Woman. He joined the cast of Dallas and ended up doing a bunch of episodes with that television show. And then he's also released a bunch of songs, and who knew that this hidden treasure was just in L.A. and it's worth talking to. He was immortalized in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater, and it was a guy who worked near Marilyn Monroe in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And you name the movie, and he probably was doing something on that movie set. And he has great stories to tell about some of the things that he witnessed, especially when it comes back to the older crew. Charlton Heston he worked with, Catherine Deneuve. You know, you name it, pretty much he knew them or worked with them in some capacity. So I'm excited about that. We're going to pull back the curtain. In fact, that's like one of the first things that we're going to do in talking to George, is he's not shy about telling you some of his latest and greatest stories too. So coming up, a conversation with George Chakiris. Don't go away. We're kicking the can down the road on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increase, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
Academy Award winner, and he is definitely internationally known for his Golden Globe, which we just had those, and an Oscar role, of course, in West Side Story. Bernardo, George Chakiris is here. Do you believe it? And boy, he's done a lot of different things even since those days, including not too long ago, the Hollywood Hand and Footprints, you know, the cement in history, one of the highest honors. How cool to have him on America Tonight. George, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm so glad to be with you. Thank you.
George, what was that like when you got to get that Hollywood Walk of Fame moment? And,
oh,
you know,
wow, that was so fantastic. It was beautiful. West Side Story premiered at Grauman's Chinese Theater in 1961. And so 50 years later, for Rita Moreno, Russ Tamblyn, and I to do our Hand and Footprints, there was like a beautiful kind of circle, so to speak. It was just great. And also, I thought afterwards, probably we have a different appreciation, a much better appreciation for it now, at this stage of the game, than we might have had 50 years ago. It was great.
And, you know, you had an amazing career. You starred in all kinds of shows, television shows, but movies, too. You were in a slew of movies that you can still see, watch and rent, etc. And you worked with all kinds of big names. I mean, so many big names in your career, including Marilyn Monroe. We just saw that Michelle Williams got an Oscar for her portrayal of Marilyn Monroe. What was, and people are always fascinated by her, what was Marilyn Monroe like?
Well, you know, from of course, I never spoke to her, and I was just one of the guys behind her, so we were kind of onlookers, so to speak. She was fantastic. That number, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, choreographed by a fantastic choreographer, Jack Cole, was a beautifully, beautifully staged number. And he was her favorite choreographer. She wanted him for
everything musical that she ever had to do. She was, unlike, you know, the stories you hear about her being late and so on, she was so on time for rehearsals for this, and it took three full days to shoot the number up to 9 o'clock, the third day. I've never seen anyone more concentrated, more devoted, deeply devoted to what they were doing. She was extraordinary, and whenever there was a cut for any reason, she didn't go to her dressing room, she didn't look in the mirror, none of that. She just went right back to her starting position, waiting to start again. She was phenomenal.
And wow, so you go from Marilyn Monroe and to Charlton Heston. You were in a movie with Charlton Heston. I can remember just seeing this recently somewhere. It was Diamond Head, I think, with Charlton Heston. What was he like?
He was great. He was a very, very nice man. His wife Lydia came over, and I remember thinking to myself, now, what a great couple. I mean, they were just so devoted to each other, so good to each other, and he was a wonderful, wonderful professional. He saw Rush's every day. He took a yellow notepad to make notes, to just follow his own performance and make changes as he felt he should going along. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor, a real pro, very, very calm, nice, socially very, very nice human being. Very nice.
Yeah. And I'm remiss. I want to make sure that I let everyone know this. They, of course, I'm sure, know immediately who you are. But acting and dancing, because you had the dancing career, and you talked about that in the number with Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend and the Marilyn Monroe story. In those days, boy, what you probably put in some long hours, didn't you, George, working with these choreographers?
Oh, I loved it. That was such a great experience, I think, for all of us. You know, all the chorus dancers, we got to be in these wonderful musical numbers behind these fantastic people. It was a ball. It was absolutely a ball. We loved what we were doing, and the two choreographers we loved most, that everybody loved most to work for, were again Jack Cole, who choreographed for the Diamonds number for Marilyn. And another man whose name is Robert Alton. Very, very different stylistically, but those were the two that everybody loved to work for. And we had a great time. It was so exciting to, first of all, to rehearse a number for 3 or 4 weeks with just a piano. And then we'd all have our costume fittings and so on. And then you arrive on the set for the first day of filming. Everybody's, you know, got their costume on, the stars are looking fantastic, and then you hear that soundtrack start to play, the orchestra soundtrack, and it's so exciting. It's just fantastic. The floor is shiny, like I always saw in movies when I was a kid on the dance floor with Fred Astaire, whoever. It was dreamy, just great stuff.
I mentioned at the top that this is the season. Gold Globes, of course, were just the other day, and now the Academy Awards will be coming up. And you got both for Best Supporting Actor. Do you remember what the moment was like for you?
Yes, I do. The Academy Award night was different. It was not the same night as the Golden Globe night. Well, they don't know either. But by the way, the Golden Globe night, I remember I was at a table at the front, sitting with Janet Leigh, and the table just to my left, Marilyn Monroe was sitting with Rock Hudson, and she got up on an award. Look, she was in a black dress, looking fantastic. But anyway, there she was again. But the Oscar night was, it's kind of like I always try to describe it. It's like buying a lottery ticket, and you never expect to win, but you kind of hope that you will. And then when your name is called, it's like otherworldly, or you kind of don't believe it. And it's very, very hard, I think, for anybody to describe what that moment really feels like. It's just an incredible, beautiful feeling. You are in kind of shock, so to speak, and you know that it's an important moment as well. So it's beautiful, it's exciting, It's thrilling. It's all of that, and it's just so terrific. There aren't enough words to really describe how terrific it is.
Yeah, I love listening to your stories, by the way. And I mentioned you've done so much in your career. It wasn't just movies, dancing. You were on the stage. You were in television. And somebody wanted me to ask you this because Dallas is having their little remake, but you were part of the cast of Dallas for a while.
Yes, I was. Barbara Carrera was the main guest for that particular season. Beautiful, beautiful Barbara Carrera. So nice, so funny. I loved working with her. And there was a role of this character's name was Nicholas, who was cohort working with her. There were just two episodes that they asked me to do, and I went ahead and did them because I liked the show so much. And then I ended up doing 12 of them instead of just two. So I got to spend a nice amount of time on that beautiful set, very, very beautifully organized set. Robert was fantastic, Larry Hagman. It was a really, really wonderful experience altogether.
Now, you mentioned one of the people you mentioned when we were talking about being immortalized in Hollywood. You mentioned Rita Moreno, and Rita Moreno is also somebody who wears your jewelry, because we don't want to let you get away without talking about the jewelry collection you have. So you, George, you have done it all. Now you also have a jewelry collection that you have all these beautiful women wearing all over the world, and I hear it's just taken off like gangbusters.
Well, yeah, it's doing really well, especially in Japan. I have a distributor who has distributes my collection in Japan at a fantastic department store. There are Mitsubishi department store, and yes, Rita has a couple of my things. Lee Meriwether, I think Morgan Fairchild, and yeah, a number of Claudia Cardinale. Yeah, some wonderful people are wearing my pieces, and this was a sort of kind of interesting or accidental road that I took. I started just as a hobby, and it just took over, and I fell in love with it, and just have been doing it now for about 8 or 9 years, maybe a little bit more than that. But yes, it's been great so far. There's much more to do, but it's been really good so far.
How neat that you got to take your hobby and then turn that into another creative outlet. You're obviously a very creative and talented man. George Sakiris, yes, you are. Just GeorgeSakiris.com. I want to make sure everybody knows to go there if they want to be able to look at the jewelry. But thank you so much for coming on America Tonight. It's been just a delight chatting with you.
Hey, thank you so much. It's mutual. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural, innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled AffinityHealthProducts.com, healthproducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com for more information. That's mysolarbackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
The journey starts beneath the stars. I stand alone. I put all my fears to all these years swept away the known. No, I run this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. I've talked about this a lot now, of having lived in California and have a lot of friends that live in California, and we see what's going on, the drug wars and the legalized marijuana. Legalize marijuana. It's a gateway drug. And we constantly see the upheaval that happens. We've had a lot of people from law enforcement on. We've had a lot of people who are drug counselors on. And one thing I know for sure, just like Democrats and Republicans, nobody agrees on this. So he's in our virtual green room, Stephen Downing. He's a retired deputy chief of police with the Los Angeles Police Department. Stephen, thanks so much for spending some time with us here on ATN.
You're very welcome, Kate. It's my pleasure.
So where do you stand on this issue? Do you think it's time to legalize marijuana and forget about all this other noise?
I think it's time to end prohibition of drugs as we know it. And from an incrementalist standpoint, I think marijuana is the first step. And I don't say legalize it. I say regulate it and control it like we regulate and control wine. And I'm involved in an initiative in California now. I'm one of the co-authors where that's exactly what we're saying is that we should regulate it and tax it just like we regulate and tax wine in California, from the growing to the processing to the packaging to the warnings and to the distribution and retail sales. Anybody under 21, you treat it just like wine. Driving under the influence, you treat it just like wine. Impairment in the workplace, you treat it just like wine. We think it's time to end prohibition. The 40-year war on drugs has failed. Marijuana is 60% of cartel and street gang income. I think that we can dry that up. If we take it off the school grounds, and you have to be 21 to get it, then our children are going to be protected better. My friend Judge Gray, who I think you're going to be talking to later, he uses the expression, when is the last time you heard of a bottle of Jim Beam being pushed on school grounds?
Yeah.
You never hear that.
No.
When is the last time you heard of Robert Mondavi growing his grapes in national forests? I think we can better protect our children, just like we protect them from alcohol. Alcohol kills many, many people every year. Tobacco kills many, many people every year. Marijuana in its history has never killed anybody. So let's get rid of the myths and regulate and control it. Our initiative, the legislative analyst of California, says that if this becomes law, we will save tens of millions of dollars in criminal justice system costs, and we will bring in hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenues. So it's time. The myths have been dispelled. Marijuana is not that harmful, but that's not the question. The question goes to prohibition. That's what we need to end.
The
black market along with it.
How frustrating was it for you when you were on the force? I mean, and there you were heading everything up, and you were watching what was happening, and I'm sure officers reporting in. It had to be frustrating because, as you said, it's time to end this. It failed miserably. Why does that not resonate with enough people, Stephen? Why do people not get that?
Well, I think over the years, you know, we've been at this 40 years, and they've demonized drugs, and they've demonized drug users. They've painted this whole thing as a black evil hole. And law enforcement has bought into that, as well as the politicians. And as the years have passed, in private, these people will say to you, yeah, it's time for this to be over. But for the politician in office, for the police officer in the department, it takes a lot of cover to be able to say that. Our society is not ready to hear that. Although our Gallup polls now say in the West 55% are ready to completely legalize marijuana. But the culture of law enforcement and the criminal justice system is such that those who do believe that would basically be made ineffective in their jobs. And when I was in my job, I bought into it. I was a drug warrior. I headed up the LAPD's drug war when Nixon first announced the war on drugs. And I believed all the myths, and I went into it wholeheartedly to do my job. And step by step by step, I kept asking questions that I couldn't answer. And I think it took the death of one of our officers that really got me thinking, what was this death worth to keep this drug from an individual that wanted it, from an adult that wanted it? And so from there, I saw the folly of the war on drugs. And I think many, many other people have seen it, but it takes more to step out and say, okay, it's time. And that's why I belong to the organization called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Drug Prohibition. Mm. And We're trying to get that message out. We're saying it's time to end prohibition. 40 years of this policy has proven that it's a failure. We need to look at it in a different way. And marijuana, legalizing marijuana, regulating and controlling it is a first major step.
Yeah, and LEAF is across the country, isn't it?
Yes, we're as a matter of fact, we're international. We have a membership, a supporting membership of about 50,000, and we have about 3,000 criminal justice people, and we have a speakers bureau close to 400 people across the nation. I'm on the board. I'm on the national board, and it's a great organization. I would recommend anybody to go to our website, www.leap.cc, not com.cc, and go to the speakers, the criminal justice professionals who have decided it's time to end the war on drugs, and read their testimonials, read who they are, read their biographies, and you'll see that these are wonderfully honorable people who did a great job for their country, who have come out and said, okay, this policy is wrong. It's time to change this policy, and here's why. And they have a million reasons why, and they're great people. And if you ever want anybody in the country wants a speaker from LEAP, go to that website. We have a wonderful woman by the name of Shailene Tidal who lines up. If you want a speaker for a group of two or a group of 200, she'll send them out. And these are wonderful people that can give you a wonderful message.
Stephen, in everything that we've been talking about, and you've emphasized this, I mean, there's no doubt, right? Marijuana is the biggest cash crop in California.
Number one cash crop in California. Grapes are number two.
Oh.
The wine grapes are number two. It's the number one crop in California. The legislative analyst, I think I said this, he said it'll save tens of millions in criminal justice costs and bring in hundreds of millions in tax revenues. And, you know, the thing is, and we really shouldn't talk about the relative harms. The harms of prohibition are just huge to society across the board in any way you want to talk about the people in prison, everything about it. But if you look at tobacco is it kills 435,000 people a year. Marijuana, in its 2,000-year history, there has never been a death from an overdose of marijuana. The thing about it is that we did not outlaw tobacco in this country, but about 20 years ago, we said, let's tax tobacco a little bit of extra money so that we can educate people about the dangers of tobacco. And that education, without putting a soul in jail, has resulted in almost a 40% decrease in tobacco use. See, LEAP doesn't advocate drug use. We
Right.
advocate the end of prohibition. We advocate a different policy on drugs, and that policy should not include the criminal justice system. It should include the health services system.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A wonderful talk with you, Stephen Downing, again, a retired deputy chief of police with the Los Angeles Police Department. As he said, go to leap.cc and check it out for yourself. Great organization. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to mysticstampad.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to mysticstamp.com. AD.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Emergency preparedness plans must include a fast way to start a fire. Fire up instantly with the revolutionary Quick Stove, a compact, lightweight, portable stove that's ready for cooking in less than 1 minute. Quick Stove, the safe, non-explosive fuel source that is an emergency preparedness essential. Quick Stove comes with four waterproof fuel cells that ignite in seconds, burn for up to 90 minutes each, can be lit and relit, and be stored indefinitely. At up to 18,000 BTUs, Quick Stove is ready to boil water in less than 5 minutes and burns hotter than most outdoor stoves. Now, the best part. Quick Stove starts at only $34.99 and comes with a 100% satisfaction or your money back guarantee. Order today at quickstove.com or call 801-784-0225. That's 801-784-0225 or go to quickstove.com. Click on the discounts tab for multi-unit savings. Quick Stove, quite possibly the world's fastest outdoor fire.
Lipstick, junkie, defunkie, all in.
Well, we just talked to Stephen Downing, a retired deputy chief of police from the Los Angeles Police Department. We're talking about the failure of what's now happened on this war on drugs. Stephen mentioned that we'd be talking to Judge James Gray, a retired Superior Court judge, and he also believes that this has been a big failure. Both are on the warpath in a good way, I think, because they've seen it firsthand. They oppose marijuana prohibition and support a new California initiative that would, imagine that, legalize pot. Judge Gray, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, you're certainly welcome, but it wouldn't legalize anything, but it would regulate and control it, which is really quite a difference. But today we couldn't do it worse if we tried, so anything would be better than what we're doing now.
Yeah, so if he regulated and taxed it, a couple of different things would happen there. Then what would come into play would be the age factor, right? So under 21 or 18, I guess 21, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you think about it, today the term controlled substances is the biggest oxymoron of our lives, because if you prohibit a substance, you give up all of your ability to have any control about it whatsoever. So today there are no age restrictions. It's easier for young people to get marijuana if they want to than it is alcohol. Why? Because the alcohol is regulated and controlled by the government, and the illegal drugs are controlled by illegal drug dealers, and they never ask for ID.
Yeah. What did you see in your years on the bench? Did you see a lot of log jams, if you will, for lack of a better word, because of some of these nitpicky cases that perhaps shouldn't have even been there?
One of the things that made me come out publicly and speak about this is basically what you're asking. The tougher you get on drug crimes, the softer you get with regard to the prosecution of everything else. So as a result of our using all of these resources for undercover drug sales and that sort of thing, literally robbery, rape, and murder is not nearly as well prosecuted, and they're getting a walk. So that's just one of the big issues. Of course, there are quite a few others as well.
Wow. When I think of that robbery, rape, and murder, oh, that's infuriating. It had to infuriate, I think, everyone concerned with the legal process. And, of course, those also picking up some of these people, which is why I'm sure you've developed that friendship with Stephen Downing, because you saw it from opposite ends, what was happening. Am I right?
Well, it's been amazing how many different people have reached the same conclusions that Chief Downing and I have, but from vastly different perspectives. And that just, again, cements in that what we're doing just has to be better than what we're doing now. You know, today marijuana is the largest cash crop in the state of California. That, by the way, implies to me that somebody's using it. And number two is grapes. But today you do not see Mexican drug cartels raising illegal vineyards in our national forests in competition with Robert Mondavi. I mean, they could, but they don't do it because there's no money in it. And the same will be true with regard to illegal marijuana. So when it comes down to it, we're really facing two rather substantial problems. One is drug harms and the harms caused by the drugs in our communities, and I'm not underestimating them at all. But the second is drug money harms, and they are far, far worse than the drug harms really will ever be. Today we are fueling our juvenile gangs. Most juvenile gangs all around the country get their primary source of funding from what? The sale of illegal drugs. So we can deal with that. They are not going to find people selling Jim Beam bourbon to each other in their high school campuses, but they're selling marijuana or worse all of the time. So that's what we're facing, and it's got to be done.
Yeah. If you cut off that the economics of all of that, it obviously you just pointed that out, it fuels those gangs and the cartels. I would imagine that some of the cartel action would dwindle, don't you think?
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, are they going to go away? No. The mafia is still here, but they're certainly not selling alcohol. I wish devoutly we'd never made alcohol illegal and they wouldn't have got their toehold. But we can seriously reduce their profits by regulating and controlling marijuana. And then, by the way, we can use that money instead of fueling juvenile gangs and Mexican drug cartels and things like the Hells Angels. We can use it to repair our roads, to pay our firefighters, and actually educate our children.
Yeah, and of course, California, the struggles with the budgets, the having to cut people and figure out what you're going to slice and dice, imagine that a lot of people wouldn't lose their jobs, and there would, as you just described, there would be other things that the money could go toward. What is the biggest blowback that you face, Judge, on this from most people?
Honestly, people realize what we're doing isn't working, but they want to perpetuate this failed system, quote, for all of its defects, unquote, literally for one reason, and that is to our children. It's to keep our children away from a lifestyle of drug usage and drug selling. The problem is that drug prohibition actually literally puts them in harm's way for two very important reasons. One we already talked about, it's easier for young people to get marijuana or any other drug if they want to than alcohol. But the second is, look, if I am an adult drug dealer, how much risk-taking can I buy for $50 in cash from a 15, 16-year-old boy or girl in the inner city or anywhere else? And the answer is quite a bit. You know, $50 is nothing to a drug dealer, but to a kid, it's a lot of money.
Right.
So I will trust them to come in and be a part of my drug distribution business. I use them as lookouts, couriers, whatever. And then as soon as their reliability is established, and I saw this on juvenile court time and again, I would trust them to go out and sell small amounts of drugs in the communities. Why would I do such a despicable thing? That's easy. More money for the kid, more money for me. Ask yourself this question. If you have a 15-year-old selling drugs in his or her community, who are they going to be selling to? You and me? Nonsense. They're going to be selling to their 14, 15, 16-year-old peers, thus recruiting more children to this very lifestyle of drug usage and drug selling that at least we say we're trying to keep away from them. It is not a pretty sight.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. What happens, though, and you know this, that in this tug of war, as we just described, I asked what was the biggest blowback. The other thing, of course, is the debate over, marijuana is the gateway drug, or what will it lead to? When people throw that up at you, and that's critics of LEAP or other organizations, what do you say to that?
You know something, the only reason marijuana might be considered a gateway drug is because under prohibition, the same person that's going to sell our children marijuana is going to also sell them methamphetamines. But otherwise, about 80% of the people in our country that use any form of illegal substance whatsoever use only marijuana. And So, yes, a lot of people maybe that used cocaine used marijuana along the way, but before that they used alcohol, they used cigarettes. You can trace it back to mother's milk if you want to. But the stepping stone theory has literally been exploded. And the only reason it's viable whatsoever is because it's illegal for the reasons we mentioned. But we have help on the way. And everyone listening to us knows someone that's registered to vote in California. And we're going to have on the ballot in November of this year an initiative called Regulate Marijuana Like Wine. We're going to bring it back under control. It'll be guided under the same control of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, just like wine. What are the age restrictions? Well, just like wine. And we're going to be able to regulate it, control it, tax it, and take away a whole bunch of money from a lot of bad people and actually use it, like we said, to pay our firefighters, et cetera. So please contact folks that you know. Have them support Regulate Marijuana Like Wine. And, in fact, if you want to see it, and we're certainly not trying to hide it from anyone, go to RegulateMarijuanaLikeWine.com. Look at it. I think you'll be very pleased. This is something that will be historic. And once it passes, it will sweep the country. And literally about 3 years after we pass it, everyone in the country will look back and be absolutely aghast that we could have perpetuated such a failed system for so long.
Yeah. Do you feel pretty confident, Judge? Are you getting a good sense that, oh, yeah, people are reacting to this? They're going to the website. They understand it better. You corrected me in the beginning when I talked about legalizing marijuana, talking about no, regulating it and taxing it. Are you finding that there's a big wave of people understanding what this is about?
The answer is yes. People are now beginning to understand what's going on. The big problem we're going to have is to get 505,000 genuine registered voters to sign the petition. If we get it on the ballot, it will pass. Courtesy, if anything, for the Attorney General's summary, because the last two sentences basically say that the last sentence says that if it passes, we will save literally tens of millions of dollars of enforcement costs and will generate literally hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue. But we need to get it on the ballot. And so you can download, people are in California, registered to vote, and download it off Regulate Marijuana Like Wine, sign it. There's an address on the back in South Lake Tahoe to mail it in. This is something that will be historic. We will all look back and be proud that we were involved with this initiative.
Yeah, and if this happens in California, you said it, then the ball would bounce to other states.
No question. There's probably going to be an initiative on the ballot in Colorado, probably Washington as well. And here in California, we're working on it too. But the time has come that people finally are beginning to understand what's going on. And, you know, we couldn't make marijuana more available for children now if we would give it away in a street corner. So people know that, and we're going to make real progress with Regulate Marijuana Like Wine.
Judge Gray, thanks. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck, and thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
We'll do it again, and thanks for your interest. Take care.
Thanks, Judge. Bye-bye.